The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
Hallelujah! It's good to be up here again. I've got a simple word, but it's, well, nothing simple, but very profound word today. And Rochelle kind of confirmed the word. You know, when I've studied revivals, and some of you have studied that too, something I've noticed in revival, that people will ask, like Finney, I read a lot about Finney, for instance. And they'll ask for the worst sinner in town. The intercessors will get together and people will start praying for the worst, toughest case in town. And you'll see God just do something miraculous. And he'll just land on them. I mean, story after story after story, they have that. All through the revivals, the awakenings, you know, we've had two or three awakenings, a couple at least, in America, and there's been multitudes of revivals. And so many times, the testimonies are of God, of grace being given out, of God doing something when people ask. Okay? And that's what I want to talk about today, is asking. Ask is the name of this talk. And, you know, I think if you're like me, you've asked for things and not seen them come to pass. I don't know how many people I've prayed for and they've died. I mean, oh my God, you know. And, you know, when I first started, I'd swear I'd pray for someone for healing to get worse. I mean, you know. So, and I think all of us need healing in that. And I'm believing, I had a vision when this talk first came to me about 2 months ago. I had a vision, and I saw like this big white stone coming down, and it like it was being laid as a foundation. I believe this word I have is a foundation to our, of course, Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone, but it's a foundational stone. It's a foundational stone in our faith, and over the last month or two, I've had this word confirmed. I've never had a word so confirmed. Deb Christofferson was leading worship maybe 2 months ago. I don't know if she's here. But she prophesied, ask of the Lord or something like that. I don't remember the exact words. And I'm like, I just kind of went, wow, that's a confirmation to what the Lord's asking me to share. And then I think Bob a few weeks ago had a word, something similar. And Dan Notley at the men's retreat had a short, I've just heard it all over. Then Rochelle now today, you know, the Lord's saying ask. So here I am, and I'm going to preach on that a little bit. So let's just get right into it. I'm going to just take my time in this, and let's go right to the Word of God. You're going to be amazed. I don't think until I did a study on this years ago, and I never realized how much it is in the Word. So it may be a little repetitious what I'm going to do, but I'm not after so much of getting, you know, preaching a witty word as much as what God wants to do in the Spirit today, okay? He wants to restore the faith. I feel there's going to be a release of faith to start asking. We're moving into a new season, a season of revival. And things that you've asked for before you never received, you're going to start asking and you're going to receive. Don't ask me why. Don't ask me how that works. But a lot of it has to do with faith. A lot has to do with our hearts. And a lot has to do with grace. And I believe we're moving. I'm starting to see it. And we're believing we're moving into a season of great grace. So I'm just going to show you how many times it's in the Bible. Matthew 7:7, it says, and we all know these scriptures, but I'm releasing this. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek, and this is Jesus. Mine's in red, okay? This is Jesus talking. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and him who knocks it will be opened. Okay, go to 7:11. If then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him. Matthew 18, 19. You're going to be a little amazed. Matthew 18, 19. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. King James says, again, I say to you, if two of you agree as touching anything they ask, it'll be done for you by my Father in heaven. Carrie's, my wife, has a story that she was a word she got. How long was that? 4 or 5 years ago? Quite a while ago, maybe 7 years ago. Not that long ago. She woke up in the middle of the night, and this word went through her mind all night. And she couldn't find it because she heard in this like dream, or just kept hearing it in the spirit all night long. She heard it as touching anything. Well, she didn't know that's the King James Version. I don't know why God speaks to us in King James sometimes, but I do like that, King James, as touching anything. As two of us come together and we touch heaven with our faith, we pull on heaven with everything we got, it'll be done by our Heavenly Father. Hoo-hoo! Shabu-ka-ba-ba-ba. Shuhu-hu-hu-ba-ba. Okay, Matthew 21, 22. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Now, this is all one gospel, folks. This is just one gospel. And you go to Mark, of course, and some of it's repeat, because if you go to Mark 11, 24, but the authors, the Holy Spirit inspired these men to write this. 11:24. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray. Well, let's read 23, too. This is just good. 22 says, Jesus says, have faith in God. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but he believes in those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, you will have them. Luke 11, 9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened up to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and him who seeks knocks, it will be opened. Ha. Boy, I feel the anointing's increasing. 11:13, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Then let's go to Gospel of John. I'm going to show you something really amazing in a minute. Actually, I think it starts out there, John 14. John 14, 13. Huh. John 14, 13. And whatever you ask in my name, I will do. That the Father, this is real key, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. That just blesses me. I'm just getting blessed up here. That's 14. Okay, that's 15. Do you realize in the Last Supper discourses, Jesus says it 5 times. Now, do you think we can use this as a foundation to our faith? Do you think we can really believe if we ask, we'll receive? I mean, he's really saying it. I'll just finish real quick here. 15:7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you desire and it will be done for you. Well, it goes on. Verse 8. For this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you'll be my disciples. 15:16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. 16:23. This is amazing. Is this amazing? 13 times. I counted 13 times. I in them and you in me, that they may be, Is this the right one? I'm on the wrong. Sorry. 16:23. And in that day, you'll ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. 16:24. Now then, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you'll receive, that your joy may be full. Wow. Isn't that something? You know, why do we need to ask? Isn't that an interesting question? Because let's look at the scriptures. Matthew 6:8. Lots of word here today. Matthew 6:8. It says in Matthew 6:8, therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of them before you ask him. He knows what we need. 6:32. For all these things, is this the one I want? Yeah, the last part of 6:32. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. He knows what you need. Luke 12:30. For these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows what you need, that you need these things. Anyway, so God knows what we need. Why do I have to ask him for everything? What? I mean, it doesn't reason in my mind sometimes. He wants my neighbor to get saved. Why do I have to ask them? Why doesn't things just happen? Well, that's a whole nother theology in itself. But I'll just touch on a little bit. For myself personally, as I contemplate this, it causes humility. And you know, we could be really
Not humble?
Yeah, just self-reliant. There's a word I was looking for. Self-reliant, do our own thing. Defiant sometimes. You know, we can just be independent. There we go. Independent. I mean, guys, I really depend on God. I really do. I mean, he's got me in such a place sometimes with work, with the business I'm in, doing ministry. You know, if the enemy comes and taunts and tries to push me down, I just got to rely on God. I mean, I'm in a petroleum business. And every day we have, but 20 some rigs on the road carrying fuel. And 2 weeks ago, we had a rollover, you know. And the devil comes, you keep doing that, you know the recording, you know. And, you know, I have to stand in faith and keep asking God for safety, keep believing on the word, keep confessing the word, keep going into the word to get a word to keep asking and standing on and keep believing. And, you know, I made a decision a few years ago when things really got tough. You know, I saw myself backing off a little bit. I really, just as transparency time. But, you know, I think I backed off a little bit of really, you know, engaging, really pressing in, really, you know, you can just back off and just have a nice life. And you know, God will bless you in that. You really can. I mean, you could just have a wonderful life in his presence. You really can. I mean, it's wonderful. And Carrie talks about, maybe we ought to just be regular people, you know, just have a nice family, you know, just take care of our kids. I said, honey, we just wouldn't be happy. Maybe we would be, I don't know. But, you know, we're just called to press in. We're called to break in. We're called to keep asking. God said, I'll give you the nations as an inheritance. But we've got to ask. He said, ask of me. That's an Old Testament. I didn't get into that. But in the Old Testament, he says, ask of me, and I'll give you the nations as an inheritance. But you gotta ask. Okay? I mean, that's kind of the word today. You gotta ask. And when Deb Christofferson gave that, is she here? Raise your hand. She's not here. Go ahead, you talk about her. But when she gave that word, I kind of went, you know, yeah, I've grown weary in asking. Because we've asked and asked and asked. And believed, and you grow weary. And that's what the Lord I believe he's bringing restoration. I just sense there's a wind of the Spirit blowing here today to heal. Because the Bible says hope deferred, it's in my notes where that is. It's in Proverbs 13, I think. Hope deferred makes a heart sick. One of the biggest things I ask for is healing all the time. We need healing constantly. Yeah, amen. And I'm talking emotional. We need physical too, but emotional. I'm asking for healing. I mean, you get hope deferred makes a heart sick. I mean, our brother here, in this wheelchair, is believing to get out. And he keeps asking and asking and asking, and sometimes just go, and it's almost like we need a new touch from God, that new healing, that confident assurance of things hoped for. Faith is a confident assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We need that fresh touch of God. That's probably the number one thing. Oh, no, I'm asking all the time, but that's a big thing in my life, is asking for emotional healing. I do it a lot. In business, I've been stabbed, kicked, beat on. I mean, my wife just goes, what is with betrayed? I mean, oh my goodness. And I could tell stories. And not to end up bitter, not to end up wounded, they're all after the anointing. They're all after that which flows out of my heart. Everything the enemy throws at me, he's after the anointing. He's after my heart. So I close my heart, I get hard, and just cut that flow. That's why we continue. Whew, that was good. Sure. So, don't get drunk. Okay. So, so anyway, someone's being healed right now. But the devil is after three circumstances. I'm not saying the devil even causes this stuff. The world, the flesh, and the devil. We got three enemies. Who cares which one? They all hurt, okay? the devil, whatever. You give anybody a license and they'll stab you. So, but the devil will use it and he'll taunt you with it. I had a guy that broke a contract with us. This is like 2003. And broke a contract with us, caused a lot of financial harm. And this is when I was supplying gas stations. And I was literally so wounded by it. You get this relationship with somebody and just turn around, and he did it to me. And I couldn't even drive by his gas station. I'd just drive out of my way because it wasn't too far from here. And I'd actually drive out of my way. So I just kept asking, Lord, please heal me. Lord, heal my emotions. Lord, heal this pain. Lord, heal whatever. I just, every time, Jesus says, how many times must we forgive our brother? Seven times? No, he said, no, 70 times seven, 490 times. What's that all about? Well, in 1986, when somebody hurt me really bad, the Lord showed me, you ask as much as it takes. You keep asking and asking until you're healed. This is for me now. If you can use it, take it. But this is what the Lord showed me, and this is what I do. So I ask and ask and ask till I'm healed. And today I can call that guy. In fact, I called him maybe last year. And my heart is to minister to him. I saw him at a trade show. I just couldn't wait to get up to him. I see I'm healed. I'm healed. And I just, Dave's his name. Hi, Dave. How you doing? And he's just like, he just doesn't know what to do with me. the world, you walk healed and whole, the world won't know what to do with you. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. So. Shoo. So anyway, but that's the way I just sense the Lord wanted me to share how I'm functioning in that, how I move in that. Because ultimately, like I said before, the enemy is after the anointing, after to just get you down. And I have down days, don't get me wrong. I have weeks and months, okay, where, but you just keep keep pressing and get up. Just get up. Yeah. Get up and go. Get up and go. Get up and stand in that anointing. Stand in that healing of Jesus. And he will heal you. Hallelujah. Shoo. Hallelujah. So, for me, what I see in it, you know, someone, Bible scholar, could probably come up and give you five different ways of asking. I don't know. But what I see, and what I have, as I prayed about this, I see two kinds of different kinds of asking. I see an asking, and then faith comes. And that's absolutely my favorite one. I mean, have you ever asked, and then faith came? Actually, I have. You start with hope, and that hope, it's like the dream. I have a hard time explaining hope. It's like the dream. It's like, you know, you hope, but it's not faith. But you have this hope. You have enough hope. You have enough promise in you to ask. You're asking in hope. And when faith comes, I got a little note here. Hope becomes a reality. See, reality is faith. Hope becomes a reality when God conveys its reality to our heart. He changes the expectation into reality. The desire and its hope are given reality through the agency of faith. So when that happens, whether I get a word or whatever, but I can't explain how faith comes sometimes. I mean, I know there's a confession word. There's just speaking over it. I don't have that all the time. I've had things where I've spoken a word over, but just I've always continued to hope, and I just keep asking. But when faith comes, it's just like you had a Holy Ghost steak. I mean, just like you sat at the table. I like a good steak, okay? New York steak strip, if you want to buy me one sometime. But anyway, but New York strip, okay? I mean, I just like, and you know, it's just, when faith comes, it's just like you had a, you know how you feel at Tom after a steak? You just go, oh, that was really good. That's what faith is. You just like you had a Holy Ghost steak and just go, I just believe. I just believe. 1993, December. Desire. Now, let me share. I believe in asking God for everything. I believe God wants to supply. He is a supplier. He is Daddy God. And he wants to supply even the littlest things in our lives. I mean, Graham Power, a friend of mine from South Africa, when he he had an experience with God, and the Lord took him in this experience of this ministry stuff he was going to do. What's it called? That international prayer movement? Global Day of Prayer. Global Day of Prayer. And when God visit him, and he was resting in the Spirit, and the Lord just spoke to him. The Lord showed him every little detail of what he was supposed to do. He showed him what color to make the bracelets to hand out at the auditoriums, and little, just little details. I thought that was so interesting. Every little thing God provided for him in his vision. It just showed me God cares about details. God cares about little things in our life. Okay? I mean, he wants to be the supplier of even the little things in our life. So, leading up to a story, December of 1993, I had been praying that the Lord help me lose weight. Okay? My wife doesn't know I'm going to share this. It's always been a desire. I used to weigh about 255 pounds. I was 70 pounds heavier than I am right now. And most of you had never seen me back then. I got pretty big. So, but that was just a desire of my heart, to lose weight. And December 8th, I think it was the exact day, December 8th, 1993, faith came in my heart. I knew that I was going to be thinner. I knew that I would lose weight. Now, I didn't know it'd take 20 years, okay? But when faith comes, it's an amazing thing. I could say that was something I would be eating a bowl of ice cream. And Carrie would be going, when are you going to lose weight? I said, I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to be thin. She goes, you're not going to be, you're eating a bowl of ice cream. You're not going to be thin eating it. Yeah, I am going to be thin. I had faith came into my heart. And I knew, and this year, you know, God provided a way for, you know, I'm a lot thinner than I was. So that's been a desire of my heart, just to be, I'm athletic, and having weight is just so tough on you. So I like biking and four-wheeling and everything. So it's healthier. I'm going out with my bootstraps on, folks, okay? And dying before 90's not, I mean, I'm believing to go out preaching the word and ministering. You know, you realize, oh, that's a rabbit trail. Well, I will say it. You realize Kenneth Hagin, the Lord showed me this one time, because I was frustrated because, you know, there's places I want to go in the spirit, places, things I want to do for God, and it's just taking forever. I'm like, I'm going to die before it ever, you know. And the Lord showed me that the height, he just like, you know how God does that? In a split second, you see it, and then you kind of look back and look at the records. Oh, yeah. Smith Wigglesworth, when he was thrown in prison for practicing medicine without a license, you know, because he went and cleared out hospitals, God, the anointing was so powerful on for signs and wonders. I think he was in his 60s. I may be off on that, but like his 60s, maybe even later 60s. Kenneth Hagin, I have a whole set of Kenneth Hagin tapes. The height of his ministry when he did these tapes, late 60s, early 70s. Kenneth Hagin was 81, I could be off a year. He came, this is like 2000, 2001 or two. He's gone to be with the Lord now, but he was at Living Word Christian Center, and I went and seen him. You know, I'd never really seen him I had seen him in person years earlier, but never in Minnesota. And I wanted to just hear him. I was back at Living Word Christian Center, over in the corner. I don't know if there's been many meetings like that where I just sat there. I didn't hardly receive anything. I just sat there and now maybe I wasn't doing that, but that's why I felt like it, you know? Yeah. And the power of God was so on him. He'd preach the word, and then he'd get this little, like, all of a sudden his eyes were kind of dancing, glowing, you know? You know, and he'd walk down, and all of a sudden two guys would come up behind him. His grandson's real big, and another guy. What's that all about? Dude, it's following that. Does he need a bodyguard? I mean, does he need a bodyguard walking down the aisles? So he starts to walk down the aisles, and all of a sudden, he would go like that, and the guys would take two guys to catch him. And then he'd just get, his whole face would glow, and he'd go, bless him. And I tell you, if you were in range of that hand, I am not exaggerating. Some people were standing up, and it'd fly over the chairs. I had never seen power like that. Guy's 81 years old, okay? It should not diminish. I don't plan on, praise God, it diminishing. I mean, the anointing is fresh. God's got new chapters in our life. Ha, shebo, go, ba, ba, ba. Just receive that. So, keep asking. And I'm sure Hagin is always asking for more. Okay, yeah, I was talking about faith. I got lots of time. Okay, a couple more stories. Another story, just a little thing. We lost our hunting land, and we were leasing some land. This is on the faith one now. This is where faith comes. And I'm not deer hunting anymore. That's why I'm here. That's really funny. I didn't realize that when I wrote that story down. But anyway, I'm just telling you my story so you can relate. But we had leased some land over north of Foley. Oh, it's just awesome. 300 acres of swamp. We just Had lots of stories from that. It was terrible, actually, but kind of fun. And we got lots of deer. The guy decided that he didn't want to rent it to us anymore. We lost that land. My kids were hunting, and my, you know, family, my brothers, and it was really a family get-together. So I just started praying. So, Lord, I don't even know where to go. I wouldn't even know where to begin to get some hunting land. Lord, I want some good land. So I just started praying, and it's like a confident assurance of things hoped for came into my heart. I just knew God was going to do something. Now, here's the problem. We have our timetable, and God has his timetable. And boy, I'll tell you, is that tough? Is that a killer? You know, Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who lives. I can hear myself on the Holy Ghost grill. I say to Holy, you know, you ever grill a burger or steak? Shh. You know, the sizzling. I mean, I feel like I'm just on the Holy Ghost grill. Okay. Shh. You know. Actually, there was a... Oh, that's another story. But anyway. Okay, I'll tell the story. I guess in the Catholic Church, there was Saint Lawrence was martyred. I think it was Saint Lawrence in Rome, and they, you know, the Romans came up with crazy ways to kill people, and they actually put him on a grill, and put the flames to it. And he was so sold out to Jesus after he was on there for a while, he says, "Could you turn me over?" I don't know if this is anyway. Okay. Don't ask me where that came from. So, anyway, strike that from the tape. So it's hunting land. So I'm sitting there the next season of no hunting land. The next year, because we lost it, and I started praying right away. Felt it come into my heart. The next season, I'm like, Lord, am I missing you? You just totally want me, but I didn't feel you wanted me to give up hunting. So it was a whole, that's a whole other story. Places in the Holy Ghost on hunting. So, I mean, it'd be a retreat for me. Get up in that deer stand and just get into the spirit. So I've missed deer because I think I was on the floor out. So anyway, but it's like, Lord. And then so land would come up. There's some land. Who's that paper company that's got land all over Minnesota? Potlatch. So I was running around the whole state looking at land, and I found some beautiful land. It's like I go out in the land. Okay, Lord. No, it's like a scratchy. You ever get a scratchy in your spirit? It's like frustration. Well, I don't get it. So I don't remember if I missed two seasons or one season. It might have been two seasons, at least one anyway. In the middle of the summer, I just remember driving down the road and my brother-in-law calls. And he said to me, he says, I've got that 120 acres, it's just incredible hunting land. He said, I've got this 120 acres. Would you like to rent it? That was his pride and joy. I never dreamed he would give up that land and rent it. But he had bought another parcel. I about went in the ditch. It was a gift of God. And he actually took it back from us now. But we hunted there six, seven years. And I kind of retired for a little bit. But it was such a blessing. It was from God. See what I'm talking about? Now I could sit in that land and go, thank you, Father. It was a co-laboring with God. That's the beauty of it. That's why we ask. That you co-labor with God, whether it's getting someone saved, and that's the ultimate, of course, praying for souls. let me go to number two. That's faith, okay? That's when you get that gift of faith. Then the second kind is, let's look Luke 18. The second type of asking This is what I relate to, okay? There may be more, but this is what I see, and this is the way I function. Luke 18:2. Then Jesus spoke a parable to him that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Well, that's a good saying. Verse 2, there was a certain city, a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? Well, okay, I tell you, verse 8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Now, there's a fine line there, just you ask, and you never come into faith. Okay, we're called when we're asking to come into faith. We're called to, you know, Kenneth Hagin, if you came to him, and I haven't done that yet, but if you came to him and had a prayer, you want prayer for something, he'd say, okay, what scripture are you standing on? What scripture are you believing for this? Let's finances or what? He says, 9 times out of 10, people wouldn't even have a scripture. And he'd say, well, go back and get a scripture, and I'll come back, and I'll pray with you, and I'll agree with you in prayer. Okay, but so there's that. That's why when Jesus says, when the Son of Man comes, will we really find faith on the earth? He's saying, be like that woman. Come after me. Come. You know, Jesus does. Jesus sharing this. But we have a responsibility also to build our faith in that process, to get a word. And I've been guilty of that myself. I'm trying to get more. If I have a piece of real estate, just or something, you know, find a scripture and find a word, you know, ask him, you really see, that's a word to stand on, but, you know, ask the Lord for a scripture. Okay, Lord, what scripture? And, hoofta. So, the other kind of, The other kind of, okay, Lord, take a drink. Whew. Whew. The other kind of asking is just keep asking. That's as simple as that. And that's sometimes I have faith, and sometimes I, like, for praying for emotional healing, I just keep asking and asking and asking until I'm healed. And of course, or you'll ask and you'll just feel confident that what you've asked is done. But then maybe 6 months later, 3 months later, whether it's, let's say it's an emotional healing, and you come into that person, you realize I'm not healed. I just kind of went, ugh. Okay, and so I just start asking all over again. And Lord, heal me. Lord, heal my emotions. Lord, heal. Lord, whatever. Those words they spoke to me or whatever. And some of it I know is a natural process. So you got to understand the natural process. There's a natural process, but then there's the supernatural addition. So, I mean, you've heard time heals. So some of it just takes time. But I like to see the supernatural speed it up a little bit. What would take years, God can do quickly. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Carrie and I, another story. For instance, now I'll tell you some stories of the asking until you get a breakthrough. I'm starting to lose the years. Imagine that. 2003, I believe it was. In 2003, Carrie and I started praying for our children. We looked at our kids, and here we're leading intercession, and, you know, we just didn't really, feel that our kids were walking with the Lord that well. And so we really started pressing in. We tried to pray, maybe some of you have heard the story before, we tried to pray 5 times a week. But you know how you make a goal? Maybe it was 3 times a week. But we'd get together for a morning prayer or evening, but usually it was morning. But just 15 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever. We just pounded it. Just pounded it with the Word of God over our kids. Just asking. Pressing in. And as you know, it doesn't usually get better when you start praying. It maybe gets a little worse, huh? Your faith gets tried. But we kept pressing in. 18 months later, continual pressing in. Dana's a result of that. 18, yeah, shoot.
Hallelujah.
John, yeah. When did you meet Dana? No, when you're really serious about each other. '04? Yeah. Yep. Hallelujah. But we saw in 18 months later, and we started 18 months before that, by the way. Believe it or not, we prayed you in, John. But it wasn't just all of our kids, okay? Our whole family. All the kids, all of a sudden, start drawing closer to the Lord. Now, we're not doing it anymore. We've got to start doing it again. But, you know, you kind of go, okay, let's rest a while. We're not praying for our children the way we were, but we're going to start because we've got grandkids now. But we just really, 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 and some weeks it was 5 days. I mean, we just really pressed in. I mean, I'm talking really pressed in. So God answers those prayers. And that was like, you know, Jesus says about the woman of the judge. That was that kind of asking. We weren't taking no for an answer. We were pressing in. Carrie has a sister, because it's recorded, I won't say what kind of lifestyle, but she lived a lifestyle as opposite of the gospel as you could imagine. Let's just say it that way. Boy, you know, I just didn't have the faith to see her come out of it. I mean, I had faith, I had hope, lots of hope, and lots of love. The Lord gave me a supernatural love for her, but we just pressed in and prayed for her. Barb's her name. And I wish she was here, actually. And she goes to the Living Word Christian Center. But, you know, we'd see her, and Barb, can we pray for you? God gave us such a love for her, even though she was so far away. And so we would pray for her, and God, the presence, this always would baffle my brain, because God's presence would come on her, and she'd start to cry. And I'd go, you want to accept Jesus? No. That happened time and time again. It was strange to my mind. She'd feel God's presence, but she wasn't ready. Then one day, she was ready. I didn't lead her to the Lord. Actually, my brother-in-law took her to church, and they had an altar call, and she went up. Just got whacked by God. Yay! So, but, you know, that seemed in the natural an absolute impossibility. You know, it happens to other families, right? It doesn't happen to us, you know? You ever feel that way? Well, you hear all these stories. Well, we just pressed it. Actually, we were praying for your whole family. And we've seen God move on her side. We've seen God move in a whole family. So I think we just have one or two left out of the whole family, some nephews and nieces that need to come to the Lord yet. So, yay God, huh? Yay God. So, but that's that. So there's those two ways, praying, asking, and faith comes. And you just stand in that, you know, confess the word or just... It's a thing God does. It's supernatural. I can't even explain it. Just, you know that you know. Your knower knows. I wish that happened more. Okay? I'm seeming like I'm always pressing into God, asking. Maybe a whatever. But ask. And 13 times in scriptures, God says ask. So what about all these times that you ask? Where's Henry? Henry here? Is Gideon here today? Dave said the Gideon guys might be here. They're not here, are they? Okay, good. I got lots of time. must be next week. He told me they're going to be here. Hallelujah. So, I get a little drunk. I can't find nothing. Okay. Let me tell you a couple more stories about asking. I just want to release faith. I'm just going to show you a level that I have taken this to that might just whack your mind a little bit, okay? But I've just taken this to a level, I've just so believed this is a foundation. If I ask, I will receive. And part of it is knowing who you are as a child, knowing that you are a son or daughter of God, knowing that you're his kid, and whatever you ask, you're going to receive. Now, in the Epistle of James, it talks about, why don't you receive when you ask? It's, in case I see people taking notes, it's James, I got a little drunk and my notes are all mixed up here. James 4:2. Let me read that scripture. Sit some there. James 4:2. Verse 3 says, "You ask and not you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." And goes on. So yeah, we can ask for selfish things, and, we're asking amiss. Sometimes it's knowing that will, but I just ask, and I just depend if I'm amiss, God will show me, okay? Because my heart's right. My heart is to be in Christ. And I wasn't going to share this, I sense I'm supposed to share it. I had a thing where I've been asking for revival, just asking for a move. And I don't know what it looks like, but, many people have been asking for an awakening. And I was over here one Sunday and just really felt the strong presence of the Lord. And, one of those things where you feel like you're very close to God and you could just ask for anything. And I just started pressing into God asking. And I don't know if I should say it. Kind of like, "Lord, if we don't have revival, just take me home." I know she wouldn't want to hear that. It's like, if I can't see my children and my grandkids experience revival, I might as well just go home. I mean, that was the kind of conversation I was having. And I felt like his presence lift off of me. I'm like, whoa, okay, I asked amiss. I took a wrong turn here somewhere. I'm like, and he spoke to me. He said, and he gave me a revelation. He said, "Quit asking, it's been promised." Now, I'm not saying I won't ask for revival anymore, but in that moment, he was trying to teach me something. And he showed me, as fast as I could, I can't explain. You know how it is, in 2 seconds, he gives you 5 minutes of revelation. My mind just, and all the promises, the promises from the prophecies from Bob Jones, the prophecies that Carrie and I have had, the prophecy after prophecy after prophecy, word after word, personal words he's given me about a move of God coming. He says, start just believing and moving into that. Start really walking and thanking him for it. Because you come to that place where you've got to move from asking to thanking. Okay? You got to just start. My God shall supply all of my needs. When I ask for finances, when I'm believing and know that God, I've touched, I've pulled on heaven, that there's a release, I just start thanking. Thank you, Father, that this provision's been met. My God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. That has been a scripture I've so walked in for all these years. My God is the supplier of my needs. I ask and he will supply. Receive that. Receive that faith. I'm just releasing faith today. Just receive that. Wow, wow, wow. But I want to show you a level that I've taken this that might even just freak your brain out. I hope it does. Or you'll just think I'm silly, one of the two. I've gotten to the point where I just believe if I ask, it's done. So I've been in times where I've been in the Amsterdam airport, okay, going to the Ukraine, and I got a big layover. So you're just kind of like bored, okay? And, you know, you can look for someone to minister to, but maybe I don't feel like it. I'm being transparent. I just don't even feel it. So I like to pray, though. So I'll just start picking out people as they walk by. Well, Father, I ask you, Father, to bring that soul into the kingdom. Father, I'm believing in the name of Jesus that when I come into the kingdom, as they're walking by, I got to pray fast, they're walking by, that person will be in heaven. Father, I ask for their salvation in Jesus' name. Here comes the next one. Father, I do this for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. Hundreds of souls. I believe I'm going to meet them all. And now, I have spoken forth his word. It's up to him to perform it. It's not up to me. I put forth my faith, believing what he said as a foundation. Ha. Huh. Whew. Yeah, in the word. Okay. In the word, and he will perform his word. I'm believing. Isn't that neat? Faith pleases God. It gives God pleasure. When we believe like that, it gives God pleasure. Just think if the whole body of Christ started doing that. Huh? Wow. Woo! So, believe in the impossible. Let's see if I have any more stories. Okay, one last story. This happened to someone else, but this is the type of season we're moving into. We're moving into, you know, arms coming and people being healed and, you know, things you've asked and asked to be used in healing or salvation, whatever. I believe we're moving into a grace and we just need to start doing it. So part of this word today is to just get you healed. You know, if you've been full of hope deferred, I'm going to pray just kind of a blanket prayer at the end here. But hope deferred. If you've had hope deferred and your heart is sick, God wants to restore that today. God wants to restore faith in you. God wants to just restore. Just, it takes a boldness to ask. Because I've asked for things and just, you know, asked for lives, asked for this, asked for that. And, you know, and whether it's we're praying for the political arena and you're believing for this righteous person to be elected and it goes the other way. I mean, there was one election I remember I really engaged in prayer. I don't remember which one it was. But it might have been way, way back. And I just remember really engaged in prayer and really pressed in. And just God, you know, just asking. And a different person got elected. It took me a little bit to recover from that. It's like, I just so believed. You know, just get up. Jesus, heal my emotions. Lord, I need some healing. That was so disappointing. You know, it just might take me a week or two. I don't know. I won't think I'd let that happen again. I probably got too emotional over it. But, you know, faith just has this confident assurance you stand. But, you know, you just keep going. So, we're coming to a season. James Maloney, I was at a meeting. Dr. James Maloney, for anyone that doesn't know who he is, he moves in signs and wonders and miracles. He's at Redeeming. Anyone there, Redeeming Love, when he was there? Okay. Now I got to tell the story right? You can correct me if I screw it up. But I wasn't there. I thought he was coming on Friday night. And he was there, and someone told me Friday night. And he was there on Thursday night. So I watched the DVD. But James Maloney was in as he was sleeping, taken by the Lord. It's like a dream, and had an out of body. I don't know if he's in body. I guess he's in body. He was just taken by the Lord. Transported. Thank you. Help me. Transported. He was transported during the night to be with Jesus, and he went to Uzbekistan and went and ministered to people for like 2-3 hours. And he saw all kinds of healings, miraculous healings, things, you know, whether it's limbs growing, whatever was needed. People were gathering around, just yelling Jesus' name. You know, Jesus, or no, well, that's Spanish, whatever it was in that language, but Jesus' name. And for 2 or 3 hours, wasn't it? Yeah. During the night, he was with Jesus, ministering to people, seeing these signs and wonders. Now, he had been asking for that, okay? And, you know, he came back, and he's sitting on the side of his bed. Now, people say, well, how do you know? He was full of sweat, and his clothes were all soiled and dirty. Wow, huh? Well, that's what I've been believing for. And when he told that testimony, you too. Oh, I go to bed at night. Okay, Jesus, let's go somewhere tonight. I don't care if it's in a dream. I don't care. I just want to check out at night. Okay, I just want to go somewhere. You know, let's go. I hear about all these stories, you know, about, yeah. Leslie's going, yeah. I mean, but that's where God wants faith to return to our hearts, start asking. I asked for a while. Now I just believe it's going to happen. I really, really do. One of these nights, I'm out of here. We're going to go somewhere and go minister all night. I just can't wait. Go in the spirit. He just John G. Lake tells a story. He was just actually one time he had one of his experiences. He had an out of body. He was actually in deep intercession in a group. And he left, and it was like he was flying, you know, and he went to a hospital room and ministered to a child. He was a child or a person who was very, very critically ill. Now, you may wonder, well, how did he know? That person talked about seeing him. Yeah, the word got out. I saw John G. Lake in my room. You know, he came and visited, you know, and that was like in another country. So, and John G. Lake was globally known. So, I mean, I don't understand all that, how God does it. All I know is I just want to go and be of Jesus and go minister to people or go pray. Just let's go show up somewhere in another nation some night, Lord, and let's go. I'll hang out with the angels and we'll go pray, you know, whatever. But so that's my little thing. I've been wanting to do for a long time, but I have faith. I'm sharing that to release faith, to release things that you may have put on the side, dreams that just seem too impossible. Now, I do think we got to connect with God. You know, I can't remember if it's someone shared this. They spoke something like this, Copeland or one of the guys, and said, well, a guy came up and said, well, I'll believe it. I'm asking God for 10 oil fields to be a billionaire. Well, is that really what God wants, to be a billionaire? I mean, you know, probably not. You'd know the gifting would be there. There'd be an incredible gifting to do that. So, but we do have dreams that are from God, and they are financial. They are financial dreams. I have financial dreams or spiritual dreams. I have ministry dreams. I probably in every area, whether it's social, with our family, I have dreams. I have legacy dreams. I have dreams financially. I have dreams, you know, spiritually for the nations. But God's put that in me. And I continue to press in and ask and believe. Amen.